Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is taken from the book of Ephesians. It's not taken from today's epistle lesson. I didn't think that I really wanted to focus so much on marriage as we are celebrating the induction of our vicar. But look within the same book that is assigned for this day. And Ephesians is a book that really kind of talks about the unity that we have in Christ. Really talking about the unity between Jew and Gentile, which has been a challenge over the years up to that point. And so the whole idea behind this is that we are to love one another, that we are to be united. And that's fitting for us as we begin this partnership with Zion and St. Paul here as we began it at the beginning of this month. Well, the portion of scripture that I selected from Ephesians to serve as the text for today is the first verse of the fourth chapter, which simply reads, "I therefore, a prisoner for God, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." This is our text, dear family and friends in Christ Jesus. Amen. There's a great little story about this group of tourists who were visiting this quaint little town that was some distance from a well-known larger city. And as these tourists walked by throughout the town, they noticed that there was an elderly man who was leaning up a fence that was there. And one of the tourists asked, kind of in a condescending sort of way, he said, were any great men ever born here? And then to which the elderly man said, no men, just babies. And you know, there's a great deal of truth to that, isn't there? There's really no instant heroes, no instant status, no instant fame bestowed upon anyone, whether it's in the world or even more specifically, as we're looking at today, in the kingdom of God. And that's because growth takes time. And that's really one of the challenges that we face at living at this particular time in the course of history, because it seems like more so than any other time before us, we live in a time of instant gratification, don't we? For example, if you want a cup of hot coffee, all you need to do is drop a little pod in the Keurig within a matter of minutes, boom, it's done. We have instant oatmeal, instant milk, instant pudding, instant breakfast, instant accessibility to information that is taking place around the world. And even more so now that we have these cell phones in our pocket where we're never disconnected from information around the world. And it's hard. It's hard to be patient in this world, and really that's kind of the whole concept behind the idea of fast food restaurants, isn't it? You go to the restaurants because you want your food quickly. You want it fast. How often have you complained after you made your order that you had to wait 5 minutes for that food to finally get to the counter? And that's because when we order it, we want it, and we want it now. And if you're like me, bold confession out here today, if you're like me, if you go to the grocery store, whether it's Kroger or Meijer or Walmart, Cheese, whatever it may be, whenever you're ready to check out, this is what I do. I kind of assess all of the lines, check and see which ones are shorter, and then the shorter ones, I try and see how much food is in or items are in each of those baskets. And then I look and see which cashier seems to be the fastest, and then I get in that line. But I'm not done yet. I'm always watching those other places where I could, you know, we could have been done. We could have been done by now if we would have picked that line, but that's the way that it is, because we want things to be done, and we want them to be done quickly. And all of this really brings us to the concept, to the idea that St. Paul is talking about in today's text. For he's telling us that there is no such thing as an instant faith. Now, it's true, the Holy Spirit, he can create an instant conversion. We saw that with the Ethiopian eunuch, and we see that it happens. But the thing is, there's no such thing as an instant Christian. It takes time. It takes effort. And we are encouraged in today's text, remember to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling. And how fitting these words are for us here today. as we join this partnership between Zion and St. Paul, where we're doing the work that the Lord has called us to do in Ridgeville Corners, in Napoleon, in the surrounding areas, the Ohio District, and even beyond that. And we are to be doing this work together. And that's exactly what this section of Ephesians is all about, that we are to have this unity in Christ. And how awesome it is that as we are have committed to this partnership together, we do so in the recognition and celebration of your former pastor, Pastor Rockroar, who faithfully served this congregation for many years. And a key part of this connection that we have, this partnership that we have, is seated before us here today with Vicar Carey. And we are thankful that the Lord has brought him here so that we can make sure that the work of the Lord continues to be done in this place and through this place and out in the community. And the words that are before us in today's epistle lesson from Ephesians, they're pretty simple, aren't they? But they are very direct as well. It says, walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling. I'll tell you this, this applies to all of you members of Zion. This applies to you, Vicar. This applies to me. This really applies to all of us as well. And I have to say, Vicar, the path that it took to get you to this place, it certainly was an interesting path nonetheless. It's taken some twists and some turns along the way, some as anticipated, some as expected, some as planned, and others not so much. But in all of those twists, all of those turns, with the gift of perspective, we are able to look back and see how God was leading and guiding you each and every step of the way. And one of the key steps took place on October 25th on your baptism, that day when God claimed you to be his very own. You didn't know it then, but God had all of this in store for you already way back then. And then growing up in New Haven, Indiana as a Hoosier, I have to tell you, you're in Buckeye country now. Side note, we're going to a baseball game on Wednesday, the pastoral staff. It's Cleveland versus Kansas City. And he asks, who should I root for? I said, it depends. Do you want to ride home or not? He said, so I should wear my Kansas City shirt? I said, sure, that would be great. But you're in Buckeye country. But in Indiana, you were growing each step of the way. The Lord was blessing you. He was leading you, blessed you with great parents who were encouraging you to grow in your faith. And then on May 4th, 2014, you confirmed that faith as you stood before the altar. 2014, man, these vicars are getting younger all the time, aren't they? It's not that we're getting older. And again, at that time, God was working in you and through you and challenging you and nudging you. And while maybe the path wasn't really set straight in your mind, God provided. God provided great people in your life in addition to your family. God provided people such as Pastor Blodgett and Don Wickman and Pastor Hoover who said, you know, God has good things in store for you. You have certain gifts. You should use these gifts. You should grow these gifts. You should use them for the betterment of God's kingdom. And you continue to use them and grow them and lead them and learn them and continue to develop at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, where you love the theology and God was working in your heart. And of course, there at Concordia Ann Arbor, you met your wonderful wife, and what a truly blessing that is. And then you entered the pre-seminary program there, and again, God was encouraging you, led you to go to seminary in Fort Wayne, and now you begin your vicarage. As St. Paul said in Ephesians 4, great book, I'd encourage you, take some time in your daily devotions, make your way through Ephesians, you'll be blessed by it. But in Ephesians 4, same chapter that the text is from, verse 12, just a little bit further down the line, says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. In other words, we're really supposed to help each other grow up in the faith We are to help each other by building each other up and encouraging each other and supporting each other in the midst of the challenges and difficulties that comes life way. We are to be about the business of making disciples so that these people who do not yet know Jesus become part of Jesus' family. And they too grow in the faith. And that's really the good news, that the Lord has given each and every one of us, that he has given us the tools that we need in order to grow the faith so that we can be the people that God wants us to be, so that we can do those things that God wants us to do. Now, for you guys who were at St. Paul a number of weeks ago, when we had your induction service there, you may remember that I talked about different spiritual food groups that you needed to grow up healthy and strong. And so what I'm going to do today, and I don't normally do this, but it just happens to be two sermons back, I'm going to give you a list of a couple things that I would consider tools that you need for the ministry, tools that all of you need as the people of God, so that we can live as God desires us to be. And so I won't test you here in front of everybody to see if you remember what it is, that it was fellowship, devotion, worship, and the sacraments. Those were the four spiritual food groups, but I'm going to give all of you some tools that will help you in grow in your faith. The first tool is this, and that is, talked about it with the kids here today, that's Scripture. Scripture is such a key tool that we need to rely on. We see it as the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. That means there's no mistakes in it. And so it's important. We need to see what it says. In 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. For all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, so that the people of God, will be thoroughly equipped for every good work." You see, Scripture isn't just a series of writings of people who wanted to be part of a best-selling book. Scripture comes to us from God himself. And again, you catch it, useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking. So those who say, "Judge not, lest ye be judged," I mean, it tells us that we need to be able to say, what is right is right, and what is wrong, but then also the training that needs to be done. And likewise, in Hebrews 12, another great section of Scripture, where it says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing in soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So God's Word is not something that was written 1,000 years ago that is not relevant to us today. It's relevant to us today. And we see many problems are coming about today because we're not listening to what God's Word has to say, right? You don't have to look that far. And Psalm 119, yeah, who doesn't love that one? It says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We live in a sin-darkened world. We need Scripture to enlighten that path because it's so easy to go down the wrong road. So we need to stay on task. So the first one we have is Scripture. The second one we have is faith. Now, sometimes we get a little confused. Faith is not something we do, but faith is something that we receive from God. He gives us that. In Romans 10, verse 17, it says, "Faith comes by hearing the Word of God." When you hear, what are you doing? You're receiving the gifts. You're not doing it, you're just receiving. So faith comes by receiving the Word of God. And so let's not get confused that I need to work on my faith and make it stronger because then I get the credit when it's going well. Faith comes from God and God alone. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith is being sure to what is hoped for and certain of what we do not see." We don't tie our faith to what it is we see, what can be proven, but rather faith is a relationship. Faith is trusting in God. Trusting every bit of our lives to him. And that leads, and echoing this thought in 2 Corinthians 5:7, where it says, "We live by faith, not by sight." Seeing isn't always believing. Sometimes seeing is deceiving, is being deceived. And so we trust in the word that God has given us. So first one is Scripture, second one is faith, third one that we have is grace. Grace is defined as God's undeserved love, that he gives us things that we do not deserve, things that we have not earned, things that we should not get. And so with that, we see in Ephesians 2:8-9, verse says, "For you have been saved by grace through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. We can't do anything to earn that. God gives it to us. And 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may be upon me.'" Reminds us this walk of faith that we have. It's not about us, not about what we do, but it's what God is able to do in us and through us. We don't deserve it, but he loves us anyways. So scripture, faith, grace. If you have those tools, those three tools in your tool belt as you move forward in your vicarage and as you move on into the back to the seminary and then into your congregation, as you keep those tools in your spiritual tool belt, you will be equipped to meet so many of those challenges that come your way, because you are reminded of God's love, God's presence, that he will never fail you. He will always be there. He's given us these assortments of tools, but the challenge is we so often do not use them as we should. We ignore them. Don't answer this question out loud. When was the last time you opened up your Bible in your home? Is it one where you have to go, and it's dusty? Or is it falling apart at the seams because you use it so much? You see, friends, we need to live a life that is worthy of the calling, as our text says. Always growing, always trusting, always reveling in the grace of God. And I want to tell you, Vicar here, never think that your little bit is not big enough. God can use you as you are to accomplish great things. He's given you tools, he's given you skills, given you abilities, and don't minimize what he's given you. Use them to the fullest of your ability. And as a reminder, as you use those tools, as we use those tools together, that we can accomplish so much more together than we could ever do so alone. We were not created to be alone, but we were created to be in relationship with one another. And how fitting it is, as I bring this to a close, that on your confirmation day, and I said this at St. Paul as well, that May 4th, that you receive John 4, verse 19, as your confirmation verse. It says, "We love because Christ first loved us." See, we were unable to love until he loved us. Once he loved us, we know what love is all about. And he loves us so much that we just can't keep it to ourselves. We want others to experience that same love, that same hope, that same joy, that same forgiveness that God has given us. And as we allow the Lord to work, he will accomplish great things. God's blessings to you, my brothers and sisters here at Zion. It's been great working with many of your leaders here for about a month or so already. And I want to tell you, you got some great leaders. You have some very committed people. You have some very passionate people. And we want to do what we can to take care of you and work with them and accomplish great things, because we know that God has great things still in store for you here at Zion. And as God blesses you, God bless you, Vicar Carey. God bless you, Leah. Family members, we're glad that you're part of our family here. Look forward to working with you. And again, we know that God will do that, because we rely on his grace and his love in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.